Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Got a great show for you. Just want to mention that as Catholics, obviously, we know that we're living in very, very problematic and confusing times. There's a prayer that I'm going to recommend to everybody so you don't lose your peace. It's a prayer written by St. Padre Pio. It's called Stay With Me, Lord. So go on the internet, it's on your iPhone, pray this throughout the day, because I know a lot of people have, you know, post-election blues, though we still don't know the final outcome, but a lot of people are very stressed out and have a lot of anxiety. Don't lose your peace. Stay this prayer throughout the day, and I'll just pray it right now in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer by Padre Pio. Stay with me, Lord. For it is necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I abandon you. Stay with me, Lord, because I am weak and I need your strength that I may not fall so often. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life and without you I am without fervor. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light and without you I'm in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, to show me your will. Stay with me, Lord, so that I may hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you very much and always be in your company. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to be faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, for as poor as my soul is, I want it to be a place of consolation for you, a nest of love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it is getting late and the day is coming to a close and life passes. Death, judgment, eternity approaches. It is necessary to renew my strength so that I will not stop along the way, and for that I need you. It is getting late and death approaches. I fear the darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. Stay with me tonight, Jesus, in life with all its dangers, I need you. Let me recognize you as your disciples did at the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion can be light, which disperses the darkness, the force which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Lord, because at the hour of my death, I want to remain united to you, if not by communion, at least by grace and love. Stay with me, Jesus. I do not ask for divine consolation because I do not merit it, but the gift of your presence. Oh, yes, and I ask this of you. Stay with me, Lord, for it is you alone I look for, your love, your grace, your will, your heart, your spirit, because I love you. And ask no other reward but to love you more and more. With a firm love, I will love you with all my heart while on earth and continue to love you perfectly during all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer by St. Padre Pio. Stay with me, Lord. Pray that throughout the day. Put it on your iPhone. Don't fall into anxiety and depression. Dan, I just want to put on a show here of Fulton Sheen's called The Demonic Today. We're going to chop it up here and we're going to talk about the theology of temptation. Mr. Engineer, can you play Fulton Sheen, please?
Why bother with theology? The abstractions of your hypostatic union. Belief in the invisible Father. Men are not interested in your theology. You're never going to draw them to a pulpit. But there is a way of drawing them. And I will tell you what it is. Talk politics. That's what the world wants. See this little globe in my hand? All the political kingdoms there, they are all mine. Mine. Was Satan telling the truth for once in his life? was he lying? But he was saying to the Lord, give up the theology of the cross, redemption, satisfaction, expiation, mortification, penance. These will not win, man. They like to talk about political liberation. Give it to them. Then you need never go to a cross. And this will be the temptation the church will have in the next 100 years. Watch it. St. Thomas, in his commentary on the letter to the Thessalonians, in which there is revealed a man of lawlessness, says that the last struggle of the church will be the potestas politica. As politics begin to absorb us, sometimes begin to absorb too much our attention as priests and as bishops. Now this was the third temptation of our blessed Lord. They were shortcuts from the cross, the way to win the world, without talking about sin or guilt. See, politics admits only social guilt. Technology admits only social guilt. Following of id admits individual pleasures, but no personal guilt. Now let us go back to the scene at Caesarea Philippi. Our blessed Lord calls Peter Satan. Why did he call him Satan? Because he's saying, no, you will not go to the cross. We'll not have this. We'll admit your divinity, but we will not admit you're a victim. We'll admit you're a priest, but we refuse to admit that you're a victim for sin. And that is why our blessed Lord called him Satan. What then is the demonic? The demonic is the temptation away from the cross of Christ and redemption. That's the essence of the demonic. This is an example of the demonic. Taking down of crucifixes from our hospitals, rooms, from our schoolrooms. I went to a bishop's meeting in the convent, and the sister was, she didn't look like a sister, but she said she was. Did you ever hear about the very modern sister that went in to see the pastor and she said, Father, you didn't know I had red hair, did you? No, he said, I didn't know you had varicose veins either. And she said, do you know that we put a sign out in front of our convent the other day for sale, crosses which they wore? And do you know that in 2 hours we sold all of those crosses to hippies? You see, as we drop things, the world picks them up and perverts them. As we nuns drop the habits, the girls put on maxi coats. We drop the rosary, the hippies put beads around their necks. And they become useless to us. But the point is, the essence of the demonic is the anti-cross. And all that that means, it means sin, it means redemption, it means glorification, it means a resurrection, it means an eternal peace and joy. But not the cross. So we have even movements in the church today where we have the Spirit without a Calvary. No mention of a cross or of discipline, just the celebration.
Jesus 911, two-man car. Dan, there's a whole lot there to chop up. in a nutshell, Fulton Sheen is telling us that we've walked away from the cross. We want a cross. We want a Christianity without a cross. And I'm going to want you to get into the whole aspect of redemptive suffering and spiritual warfare. Basically, Fulton Sheen is saying that without a Good Friday, we can't have an Easter Sunday. But we've basically redefined our religion in modern times to have a Christianity without a cross. Comments, Dan?
Yeah, you go back to the very, the resurrection account, particularly in Luke's gospel, the road to Emmaus, how slow of heart or slow of thinking you are, and hard of heart, do not understand that the Messiah had to suffer. And so the necessity of divine suffering and how the Lord suffered is the essence of Christianity. So you know, we hear this other mantra. Oh, you guys keep crucifying Christ and you keep him on the cross, but we serve a risen Lord. That's a nice dictum, but the essence of Christianity is suffering. And I think to the extent that we avoid it, we avoid the true power of the cross. As St. Paul calls the cross is power, and so it's the power of the cross and the proclamation. So we have to go deeper into what the church teaches on it. You know, before you and I talked this morning, I picked up two documents, and we can go into them a little bit. One of them is Salvifici Dolores, Pope John Paul II. And another one
I hear
okay,
the music.
Come right back.
We'll be right back.
Got it.
Jesus 911, don't change that dial. Stick around.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever happens tomorrow, nothing changes the fact that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just finished listening to The Demonic Today by Fulton Sheen, and he chops it up into three areas, Dan. The first thing he talks about, and I want you to just make some comments on it, he talks about there's a temptation that theology is politics, that men aren't interested in theology anymore. They're interested in politics. That's what the world wants. Then he says that the devil, you know, he goes, has a little globe in his hand. And he says, all the kingdoms of the world are mine. Well, that comports with what the Bible says. 1 John 5:19, the whole world is in the power of the devil. And also I want you to talk about the fact that Fulton Sheen says that the devil wants us to give up the theology of the cross. He wants us to give up, you know, he wants us to give up redemption, satisfaction, expiation, mortification, penance. Fulton Sheen says, these will not win men. The devil wants us to talk about political liberation and no need to go to the cross. And that's been the temptation that the church has. And he goes, that will be the temptation of the church for the next 100 years. Just comment on that, and then we'll move into the other stuff. Theology, okay, yeah. Politics, yeah.
Oh, before I do, I just want to give a shout out. We had talked to some hose jockeys. We talk a lot to the law enforcement guys and the military guys, but I know there's some firefighters out there listening, L.A. County and El Paso, Texas. We want to give a shout out to those guys, and we appreciate all you guys that all you do for our freedoms, for keeping us safe. So, let's get into what Fulton Sheen is saying. The proclamation, I think what we've seen, this desire to be liked, the desire to be popular, to fall into the way of the world. He's talking to priests here. He's not really talking to laity. He's chastising priests and the hierarchy of the church of falling into this desire to talk, you know, to be liked, to proclaim politics, not the gospel. The temptation is to resist the power. Remember, the proclamation of the gospel. Christ says, go and proclaim the gospel to all nations. And then that gospel message involves a response of belief and baptism and salvation. So it's in the proclamation of the gospel that we become saved. And we hear this in the words of the priest, part of the secrets that they pray, the quiet prayers that they pray before and after they proclaim the gospel. Here's what it says before. Cleanse my heart and my lips, Almighty God, that I may worthily proclaim your holy gospel. And then at the end, through the words of the gospel, may our sins be wiped away. And this word to proclaim, the Latin word is nunciare, to announce, declare, report, retaliate, to narrate, to make known, to inform, to give intelligence. And so this proclamation of the gospel is what the priest prays for a worthily proclamation and a pure proclamation. And to be distorted, the gospel message, when it's distorted with the gospel being reduced to politics, we eliminate the power of the proclamation, the power of salvation. You know, people forget, you know, what the very last canon of canon law is. The question is, what is the supreme law of the church? And the supreme law of the church isn't to become an NGO, non-government organization, a redistribution of wealth. The supreme law of the church is the salvation of souls. So we remove the proclamation of the gospel and we replace it, the temptation to fall into some worldly mindset. We become in the world and of the world, and we're worthless as evangelists and teachers.
Dan, let me jump in. Paragraph 407, it warns us, it tells us that the devil controls politics. In paragraph 407, it's right in there. 1 John 5:19, yeah. The Bible tells us that the devil's the devil runs the world. He controls the world. And as Catholics, like you said, we're forgetting, and even many of our leaders, Dan, they think that the Catholic Church is another nonprofit organization. No, the Catholic Church is a supernatural institution, and the government's a natural institution. And so the way it works, the church is supposed to be the moral conscience, the moral framework of government. But again, you know, when you have leaders in our church that are compromised as well, they're not evangelizing, they're not discipling and mentoring those Catholics that are in their diocese, and some of them are politicians. And this is why you have so many Catholics in politics that have malformed consciences, because I would say the teachers have not taken the time to, you know, pull them aside and say, hey, I know you got a position of power, but the fact is, remember, don't fall into the heresy of Americanism. You're Catholic first. You're a disciple of Christ first before you're a politician. And as a result of this, I think a lot of these Catholic politicians, they want, like Fulton Sheen says, they want a gospel without a cross. They want a faith without suffering. And this is what, you know, some people call in some quarters of Protestantism the health and wealth gospels. Dan?
Yeah, yeah. The, you know, one, there was a Protestant theologian during the Second World War named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He really challenged Protestant Lutheranism in particular when he just talked about Christianity without the cross. He used the phrase cheap grace. And as a general rule, I think that applies to us Catholics today too. We want this cheap grace. We want Christianity without suffering. We want redemption without Calvary. We want all the candy and the sweetness of Christ without entering into the discipleship of self-denial, picking up the cross and following him. This is what Bishop Sheen said. Our attention as priests and bishops is absorbed too much by politics. And he said the third temptation of Christ is that the demon lays out for Christ is a shortcut from the cross. You know, he says, and another important thing, it's very subtle, but he says, because when we have a cult, when we bypass the cross, there are only social sins and social guilt, but not individual sins and individual guilt. I found that to be a very interesting argument. And I think it's true. We can talk about this collective guilt as a culture or society, as a nation, but at the same time, we have, we give into all individual pleasures and only take on any kind of corporate guilt. Again, Dan, avoidance of the cross.
Dan, that's why I believe that in recent times, I mean, there's been many theologians that have said that after the 60s, we moved away from theology by and large, and we've moved more into sociology, psychiatry, and psychology.
And even not even popular psychology, not even really a Thomistic psychology, understanding the human person. It's been birthed in the last 50 years. That's devoid of the tradition of the church and Christian anthropology.
Yeah, even some of the bishops have admitted that. They said the problem we had, the sexual scandals and the sexual crisis within the church, is that we lean too much on the, again, psychiatrists and psychologists, again, from the secular point of view, and we didn't move into the monastic practices of the church. We didn't move into theology. So, I mean, this is, again, it's just very easy to fall into this social justice gospel, and Fulton Sheen was warning us about it. He says that there's a temptation to fall into political liberation, and he says where you have no need to go to the cross, and this is the temptation that the church will have in the next 100 years. Watch it. And I see that within Protestantism, you have the big movements, again, the health and wealth gospel, you know, name it and claim it, the American gospel, and even in Catholicism, you have, you know, liberation theology, social justice Catholicism, a lot of these renewal movements where you'll see there's no emphasis on redemption, satisfaction, penance, mortification. Everything is, Dan, we are risen, hold your hands up high. Let's get into a hug fest. And it's, in fact, if you see a cross there, it's always a resurrected Jesus Christ, or maybe a cross without the corpus. Fulton Sheen nailed it. He was spot on. And we're living in those times right now.
Yeah, yeah. There was a, I was talking to a I think she was Carmelite, but she was in her particular order. She was given her cell on her first day, and there were two crosses on the wall, and one is a crucifix and one was an empty cross. And she asked the Mother Superior, why are these two crosses? She says, that one is Jesus's, this one is yours. So that's the empty cross of the monastic tradition. The empty cross is for the monk or the sister or the nun to climb the cross and they offer their lives as a redemptive sacrifice with Christ. And so of course the devil's going to militate against the cross, against suffering. We see this in case after case after case in dealing with those afflicted by the diabolic, to the extent that they now grow, the person begins to grow in their self-offering and redemptive suffering, to the extent that they can offer their suffering up for whoever abused them, or for the atonement for their sins, to offer their suffering up for their parish priest, to offer their suffering up for the purification of the church, for the local bishop. When souls begin to pray offerings like that, they become extremely distasteful and unattractive to the enemy. And I know, as we've worked through cases, you know, year in and year out, dealing with people that are afflicted, to the extent that they begin to offer themselves as a living sacrifice, as St. Paul says in Romans 12, when they enter into the redemptive mystery, they grow in liberation and they grow in joy. They grow in peace, and they're now broken from the enemy's stronghold, who's constantly militating against us. We fear the cross. If you really look at it, especially the men, we got a lot of men that listen here. You know, beware effeminism, the inability to offer any sacrifice, to offer any sufferings. The essence of masculinity and femininity, for that part, is to offer ourselves. Humans are meant to offer ourselves in our vocations as husbands and fathers, but to offer ourselves for others. And this is the ultimate act of Christ. So it isn't this avoidance, as Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, as I had mentioned earlier. Did you not know that the Messiah had to suffer? This is part of God's redemptive plan. It's through this suffering that we become purified and we conquer the evil one in our own lives. And those souls that are offering themselves experience the peace and the joy that the world does not understand and cannot give.
And Dan, that's why Fulton Sheen says, he says, the third temptation is to make shortcuts from the cross. The way to win the world is not talking about sin or guilt. Politics only admits social guilt, but no personal guilt. And then he goes, let's go back to the scene in Caesarea Philippi where our Lord calls Peter Satan. Why does he call him Satan? Because he is saying, no, you will not go to the cross, Lord. We will not have it this way. So Fulton Sheen says, so we will admit your divinity and you're a priest, but we will not admit you're a victim. This is why the Lord called him Satan. So what is the demonic, Fulton Sheen says? He says, this nails it. He says, it's the temptation away from the cross of Christ and redemption. I'll repeat that again. It's the temptation away from the cross of Christ and redemption. Fulton Sheen says, that is what the demonic is all about. Dan?
No, I love that. When he calls Peter Satan, just after proclaiming him to be the rock on this rock. Now, the rock, don't forget, the rock was a title for God. My God, my rock, the rock of my salvation. He confers a title of divinity to Peter. Now, this is not to say that Peter was divine, but Peter would hold the keys to divinity, to unleashing the power of God in the church. And the first thing that Peter says is satanic, meaning it's an avoidance of the cross. We're understanding you in a worldly, messianic way and not in the way that you're trying to teach us, Lord.
That's right. Jesus 911 talking about redemptive suffering. Hey, these elections may just bring us all into a time of redemptive suffering. Be back. We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. Everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. What does that mean, Jesus 911? It means, Lord, help. Come to our assistance. That's what it means. I'm here with Dr. Dan Schneider, and we're looking at Fulton Sheen's lecture. It's called The Devil Today. And in this segment, he talks with a lot of emphasis on the fact that we've entered a time where people want Christianity without a cross, and people look to politics more. They look more to politics than they do to religion. And Dan, that reminds me of what Father Gabriel Amorth, a Roman exorcist who passed away a couple years ago, back in 2015, during an interview before he passed away, he said that everybody is vulnerable to the work of Satan. The devil loves to take over those who hold political office, close quote. And even the catechism says that the devil dominates politics. So as I'm listening to Fulton Sheen here, we have to remember that politics doesn't supplant the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith supplants politics. Politics is just the caboose, but the engine is objective truth, which is based on the Catholic faith, but they can't be separated. Dan, I want you to comment on Fulton Sheen, where he talks about, he says, St. Thomas, in his commentary on the letter to the Thessalonians, where there is revealed the man of lawlessness, says the last struggle of the church will be the testus politica. As politics begin to absorb us, sometimes it begins to absorb too much of our attention as priests and bishops. So he's challenging his own clergy that a lot of priests and bishops could become more worldly and lose sight of their vocation. And it's even politics. We saw that with John F. Kennedy, or John F. Kennedy's statement, back to the Protestant congregation. It's given license to like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, Tim Kaine, and others. And a lot of people have fallen into the heresy of Americanism, where their politics influences their faith life more than their faith life influences their, their intellect and will. Dan?
Yeah, he goes on to talk about the, as the danger is when you begin to be drawn into the alluring side of the popularity, the things of this world. We're now playing with in the enemy's territory, which is this world, and without the weapons that we have. And so he goes on to talk about, as we drop the things that we believe, the world picks them up and perverts them. He uses the example of the hippies. You remember this was in the late 60s, early 70s when he gave this teaching. They were getting rid of the rosary and the hippies are picking up the beads. And we see this again and again and again. For example, just recently we celebrated All Saints Day and All Souls Day. But what do most Catholics celebrate? They celebrate Halloween, which has become really a holiday or a feast day in our culture, almost akin to Christmas. I mean, some people become absolutely. I walked into Lowe's not long ago, and there was Halloween decorations, and right behind it there was Christmas decorations, and I thought that's pretty appropriate. So we're starting to distort. We're starting to distort. Without the cross, we begin to distort the things of the faith. Instead of the Eve of All Saints, All Hallows, we now have this celebrate the lives of those who died to themselves and came alive in Christ and lived to heroic virtue, some to the shedding of their blood, exalted in heaven, and now intercede for us in a mystical way as members of the church. We now, instead of celebrating the heavenly life, eternity, we're celebrating death. And now we have all these symbols of death, and it's getting more and more macabre. you know, we're focusing on skulls, and you even go into churches and there's just skulls. Why are we having these skulls? Well, it's the Day of the Dead. Well, what does that mean? It's become a cultural appropriated symbol that is devoid of its Christian roots. The Christian roots, if you see these crosses, the monastic crosses, you would see a skull and crossbone at the base of the cross. And there's a monastic saying, memento mori, remember, you're going to die. So you should meditate as a monk. You should remember that you're going to die and meditate on your death so that you will live today for eternity. You should be heavenly minded. You should be open towards, you know, you should be living for eternity and not for the present moment. And if we dismiss death as something cute or fun, or even in its extreme, with the extreme distortion of Santa Muerte, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe now, who is New Eve and Mother of the Living, distorted into an image of death, exalting death and used in some sort of superstitious way of protection, this is an absolute distortion of all things Catholic. So when we begin to grasp the worldly temporal power, we start to see the loosening of what is truly our spiritual power, and that is the cross. Paul says, I boast in the cross of Christ. It's in the cross of Christ that I have power, 1 Corinthians 1:2. I didn't come to you, he says, with sublimity of words and wisdom, but with a proclamation of the cross and of power. And the world doesn't understand this, and this is our weapon. This is what Catholics need to go back to. And in that, we not only become purified, but we also become also an instrument like Christ in our own sphere, our own world, section of the world, our section, our lane. We begin to be able to work as Christ, as members of the mystical body, offering up in a joyful and peaceful way.
Dan, that's why it's important as Catholics, when you can, especially those of you that have the ability to go to daily mass, and if you can, go read the daily mass readings. I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God, it doesn't give you optimism. That's a secular term. It gives you hope. And I say that, today's the feast day of St. Charles Borromeo. In the first reading today at mass, it was just so powerful today. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, here it is, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Boy, oh boy, is that spot on. Do we live in a perverse thing?
I heard that and I thought, boy, you couldn't have timed the readings better.
All the readings spoke to me today, Dan. It spoke to me and ministered to my. And then it says, among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life. And then he talks about entering into suffering, what we're talking about right now. He says that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, but even if I am being poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy. In other words, he's talking about I'm entering into acute suffering. My life is being poured out right in front of me. But you know what? In the midst of this, I have incredible hope and joy, and I want to share my faith. And Dan, I'll tell you what also jumped out at me today at today's Mass. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? And the last part of that Psalm 27, wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. And then the gospel. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is why it's important to read the daily mass readings, because God is our Father and God is speaking to us, and he's telling you exactly what you need to hear today so that you can just overcome what the church fathers called the morning demons. You know, yesterday's worries, yesterday's problems, yesterday's anxieties. This is why it's so important to cut your teeth daily on the daily mass readings. Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the second reading from, if you do the Office of Readings, the second reading from the Book of Maccabees was another one that was very well-timed. The resistance, we're going through a Maccabean type purification in our society and our culture, and the Lord needs warriors to stand up and start to do spiritual battle. Let me pull that up, because I thought it was pretty insightful.
Okay. As you're
when
finding
he reached,
okay, you found it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When he reached the ascent of Beth Horon, Judas went out to meet him with a few men. But when they saw how the army coming against him, they said to Judas, "How can we, few as we are, fight a mighty host such as this? Besides, we are weak today from fasting." They were already fasting before battle. But Judas said, "It is easy for many to overcome a few. In the sight of heaven, there is no difference between deliverance from by many or by few. For victory in war does not depend upon the size of the army, but on the strength that comes from heaven. With great presumption and lawlessness, they come against us to destroy us and our wives and our children, or to spoil us. But we are fighting for our lives and our laws. He himself will crush them before us, so do not be afraid of them." And so I think tying into that with what Bishop Sheen is saying, and that is the cross is how we battle. And it isn't, again, whatever little things that the Lord dials up for you today, learning to offer those things. Here's the warriors under Judas Maccabeus fighting, right? And before going into battle, they're fasting. They're fasting. They're not doing push-ups. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not pumping up with steroids. They're fasting because know that the victory is in the Lord. And so we have to continue to do battle. We cannot let despair or hopelessness come over, because this is not becoming of the Christian. We have to continue to move forward, continue to fight, and continue to push back through the spiritual weapons. And the key is not falling into a worldly mindedness. We got to be in the world, but not of the world. And how do we keep connected?
Or despair, or falling into despair, or anxiety, or despondency. That's exactly what Satan wants.
Yeah,
is for you to lose your peace, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Then also, today's the feast of St. Charles Borromeo, and I'm looking at my Magnificat. He had a small reflection on Christian discipleship. Here's what he says, and just think about this post-elections. He says this: "Have your eye continually on the providence of God, because nothing comes about without his will, and that good is drawn out of everything. Do not be concerned about pleasing men, provided you're pleasing God. Await the reward for your every effort from Christ and not from the world." And then he says, "Nothing more excellent and fruitful there is than to love God and serve him, and that everything else passes like smoke and shadow." St. Charles Borromeo is saying, don't be men pleasers, be God pleasers. And come what may, trust in the Lord. He's in control. He's not stressing out right now saying, "Oh, no, the elections just went south." No, nope, he's in control. Jesus 911, Jess and Dan, we'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol two-man car. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We just listened to Fulton Sheen. He gave it's a short lecture. It's called The Demonic Today. And I want to emphasize, Dan, again, on the importance of redemptive suffering, the theology of the cross, because we have movements today, even in the Catholic Church. I mean, Protestantism, obviously, that's been around for, you know, decades and decades, this whole, you know, health and wealth gospel. But we have movements in the church where we've basically lost our notion of discipline, redemptive suffering, of the cross of Christ. Pick up your cross. We have renewal movements in the church that just talk about celebration and balloons and banners and butterflies, and we're all resurrected people, and let's just do praise and worship with our hands in the air. I don't have a problem with that. That's great. But Dan, it has to be interfaced with the 2,000-year understanding of the gospel today, that if we want to get to heaven, we have to follow Jesus, which means we have to pick up our cross. And a lot of people have forgotten about the power of entering into redemptive suffering, because through our suffering, we, especially the men, the patriarchs, we distribute graces to other people in the body of Christ. Dan?
Yeah, exactly. Pope John Paul, I alluded to it earlier, his apostolic letter on the Christian meaning of human suffering, Salvifici Dolores. Let me read a short segment on it. In one section, he asked, when people are confronted with suffering, they ask why. And we should be encouraged not to ask why, but rather how. You know, how can this cross that Christ has God has given me, how can I use this to become holier? How can I use this suffering to become a saint, a true saint in the church? How can I become a better man, a better husband, better father? Not why is this happening to me, but how? How can I use this to the greater glory of God? Mm. And so St. John Paul says this, Christ does not explain in the abstract the reasons for suffering, but before all else, he says, follow me. Come, take part through your suffering in this work of saving the world, a salvation achieved through my suffering, through my cross. Gradually, as the individual takes up his cross, spiritually uniting himself to the cross of Christ, the salvific meaning of suffering is revealed before him. He does not discover this meaning at his own human level, but at the level of the suffering of Christ. At the same time, however, from this level of Christ, the salvific meaning of suffering descends to man's level and becomes, in a sense, the individual's personal response. It is then that man finds in his suffering interior peace and even spiritual joy. And this, he goes on to quote St. Paul, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, Colossians 1:24. The discovery of salvific meaning of suffering in union with Christ transforms any depressing feeling. Faith in sharing in the suffering of Christ brings with it the interior certainty that the suffering person completes what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, the certainty in the spiritual dimensions of the work as redemption that he is serving. So Paul is saying, and John Paul is reiterating, we don't look to escape the cross. The first principle of Buddhism is life is suffering, transcend it. And we want to transcend the suffering of the world. John Paul is saying, building on St. Paul in Scripture, that we enter into the mystery of Christ. Objectively speaking, Christ redeemed the world objectively, but subjectively, he left open his side, if you will, pierced on Calvary. His side is left open for the subjective distribution of the graces that Christ objectively earned on Calvary, uniquely as the God-man. But he wants our participation. And so, you know, this is how we can help distribute the graces and embracing whatever God sends to us, both individually, but as a Catholic people, if we suffer through and we see continued lawlessness in our country, continue violations of abortion and other things, we continue to militate through prayer and offering up ourselves. You know, again, St. Paul, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform yourself to this age, but make this your spiritual sacrifice. This is what we do as priests. We belong to the universal priesthood. Amen. Right? Not hierarchical, universal, not ministerial. We belong to the universal priesthood as priest, prophet, and king. This is what it means to be Christian, to be baptized. And so we offer up our priesthood for our own little sections of the world that God has entrusted to us.
That's right. We're called to be great saints, so don't miss the opportunity. Dan, Venerable Fulton Sheen also says in another lecture, which segues with this one, he says that our suffering by itself leads to despair and is meaningless. But our suffering united to Christ is like a check with infinite value. This is important here because suffering without uniting it to Christ, he says in another lecture, it's meaningless. It leads to despair. But suffering united to Christ is like a check with infinite value. And this is the whole theology of the cross. In fact, Cardinal Seurat, he just said, he said this back in 2019. He says, "For if God has willed the distribution of grace in the world to depend upon the prayers of men," close quote. I almost fell off my chair. Cardinal Seurat just said, "God has willed the distribution of grace in the world to depend upon the prayers of men," close quote. And this is why, Dan, the enemy has gone after men with reckless abandon, because he wants to distract men from becoming conduits of God's grace to their family, God's grace to those under their authority, because people, again, men have just forgotten that through our suffering, we distribute graces to other people in the body of Christ, specifically those under our domestic church. Dan, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably alluding to another church document. This is Pius the 12th on the mystical body of Christ and our union with it. So Pius is talking about a document on the church, and he does a beautiful treatise on suffering. He said that dying on the cross, Christ left to his church the immense treasury of redemption towards which she contributed nothing, the church. But when those graces come to be distributed, not only does he share the work of sanctification with his church, but he wills that in some way it be due to her action, the causality of the church to distribute the grace of Calvary. This is a deep mystery, an inexhaustible subject of meditation, that the salvation of many depends on the prayers and voluntary penances which the members of the mystical body of Jesus Christ offer for this intention, and on the cooperation of pastors of souls and of the faithful, especially fathers and mothers of family, a cooperation which they must offer to our divine Savior as though they were his associates. This is why the dogma of co-redemption and Mary co-redemptrix is so critical for the modern period, so that we enter in as co-redeemers of Christ in the distribution of graces in our homes and in society, wherever God has placed us, we bloom and where we're planted, and we go to work right there. And part of the secret of our power, this blank check with a bottomless bank account, is the ability to suffer.
Yep, that's right.
We see this case after case. The ability to suffer for people that are afflicted by the diabolic, they have been given. I tell them, you have been given like in the movies. You see the guy with a dirty bomb in a suitcase that could blow up an entire grid square. You know. This is what suffering is for people that are afflicted, have suffered tremendous abuse and other things in their childhood and their past, who have hurt and pain. When this suffering, the deeper the pain, the deeper the hurt, the more powerful that union with Christ, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the grace that could be poured into the world. So don't waste it by falling into grumbling, and don't waste it by falling into despair. God has entrusted this cross, your cross, to you, so that you can offer and co-redeem the world with him. What a huge dignity that God has deigned, that we should have the great dignity of becoming causes right, of salvation, instruments of salvation in the world. That's again, true. That's mind-boggling Catholicism. That is deep, you know, that's high testosterone Catholicism, but that's where it's at.
Dan, and that's what should be the entire emphasis of any renewal movement in the Catholic Church. What you just said the last 2 minutes is teaching people that this is our lot in life. In other words, God has prepared from all eternity a cross that you're going to carry and that I'm going to carry. And God gave it to us not as a curse. He gave it to us as a gift. Why? Because he wants us to cooperate. He wants us to be co-redeemers with him. And guess what? This cross that he gave us, it's not 1 inch too long, nor 1 ounce too heavy. It's the it's the perfect cross that God hewn for you in his workshop. And God is going to give you the grace to carry this cross with heroism all the way to the resurrection. This is why St. Caspar of Buffalo, he said about planet Earth, he says, the world is a school of crosses, close quote. And reminds me of St. Maximilian Kolbe as well. St. Maximilian Kolbe, who definitely understood what suffering was all about. He says that there are three stages in the Christian life. Number one, formation. Number two, the apostolic work. And number three, suffering.
Yeah.
Dan?
Yeah. He was given this great Franciscan, a great Marian saint. The Blessed Mother appears to him and offers him two crowns, right? A white crown, the white crown of purity, and the red crown of martyrdom, and asks him, which one do you choose? Your path to sanctity. And he says, both. Right. What a great saint for the modern period. You want to see a great saint invoked during deliverance prayers. Saint Maximian Kolbe is a powerful intercessor. So too is a Padre Pio. These modern saints who defeated through purity and through suffering. We see this in the lives of the saints. Now, we're not religious. We're not monks and priests and these things. We're lay guys, but we're called to that same, according to our vocation, that same purity. Purity of body, mind, and soul, and that same offering of self. God has not asked us to make the supreme sacrifice yet, right? But we prepare our souls through small little sacrifices every day and continue to militate no matter what happens in your family, no matter what happens around you. We just get up. I'll give you – how much time do we have?
Probably about 1 minute, Dan. Wrap it up.
All right. So I was training a little fighter, a young fighter, and he got him into the ring for the first time. And I keep telling him, you got to keep your elbows in. You're leaving your gut open. You're going to get hit. He didn't listen. The guy walks in, a very experienced little fighter, slips in, switches southpaw, hits him with a straight left to the gut. My guy steps back, takes two steps, and drops to his knee. He's got dropped with a body shot, which is the best lesson he ever could have gotten.
Yeah.
The first thing I said to him was, look, it's great you learned your lesson on the body shot, but never take a knee. You have to maybe take a breather, but you go right back in. You got to keep fighting. No matter how hard you get hit in the gut, you got to keep pushing back. And we got to have that mentality as Christian men to keep fighting back. No matter how hard we get hit in the face, we're going to keep fighting back. This is the militancy we have to get to.
Dan, that's a wrap. Remember, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Know your Catholic faith. Live your Catholic faith. Spread your Catholic faith. Do not be discouraged. We serve a mighty king. His name is Jesus Christ. And we serve a 12-star general. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics. America, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Open your heart to Jesus. Gary Machuda coming up from the Midwest Command Center. Two Catholic soldiers for Christ signing out. Door 10-7. We're out. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.